Welcome back to another episode of the Well-Storied Podcast Writers, where I transform articles from the Well-Storied blog into audio so you can listen in on the go. I'm Kristen Kiefer, by the way, and today we are talking about a really fun topic, writing with filmmaking in mind. So much of how we write our modern-day novels is a result of the rise of cinema in the early 20th century. We'll talk more about why that is in today's episode, but I wanted to point that out in case you saw the title for today's episode and were wondering what in the heck filmmaking has to do with writing fiction. They are, in many ways, pretty closely tied. And if you're interested in learning why that is, let's get started with today's episode. If you'd like to read along as you listen, check out the transcript at well-storied.com/framing. That link will also be available for you in today's episode description. Now, filmmaking. Here we go. How to frame scenes like a filmmaker. Have you ever thought about writing fiction with filmmaking in mind? This certainly isn't a concept that I originated. Rather, I recently rediscovered it after reading Diana Gabaldon's I Give You My Body, her guide to writing intimate scenes, in which she discusses framing the scenes in her book as though she were shooting a film. Having taken a few communications classes in my day, all of which involved a good bit of camera work, the idea of framing scenes with filmmaking in mind is advice that I find not only interesting, but believe may be vastly helpful to many writers looking to improve their craft. Sound like something you'd enjoy? Let's kick off today's discussion. So, why should writers think like filmmakers? Whether named or omniscient, the authors of pre-20th century novels often made use of external narrators as the means by which to tell their stories. Why was this the case? Well, for millennia, stories were told in the oral tradition. What stories were written or performed still largely depended on this tradition, making use of narrators to convey what often could not be actively, quote-unquote, seen as part of the narrative. Things like backstory, scene changes, passage of time, thought processes, and so on. Then, everything changed with the rise of cinema in the 20th century. Suddenly, storytellers were no longer limited by the confines of paper or the stage. What previously couldn't be explained without an external narrator could now be shown via handiwork both behind the camera and within the editing room. Just like that, storytelling became visual. The more consumers grew to love cinema and television, the more they craved a new narrative style in their literature. They wanted to strip away the narrator, to blast through that last veil between themselves and the story's characters, and to see and experience stories through the characters' eyes, much as they did when viewing their favorite flick. To meet this demand, writers began utilizing techniques derived from their new storytelling cousins, filmmakers. Techniques such as deep point of view, which we discuss in depth in an article that I have linked over in today's transcript, as well as what we're going to discuss today, framing scenes to be seen visually by readers. But what does framing a scene actually mean? When I speak of framing a scene in written fiction, I'm talking about the way you compose a scene so that its subjects and settings can be imagined viscerally and visually by readers. This can be done both through descriptions of the scene's setting and through narrative additions that fill out the dialogue and or action of the scene. The most important thing to keep in mind? Framing is power. The way you compose your scenes has a major impact on how each scene is perceived, and the same goes for framing scenes in filmmaking. How the characters are composed in a shot can prompt viewers, or in our case, readers, to feel the specific emotions and dynamics we're working to convey. Confused? Here is the good news. It's highly likely that you're already framing your scenes as you write, whether you realize it or not. But let's not leave the composition of our stories up to chance and happenstance, right? Let's work with purpose and power instead by taking the time to learn how to apply these filmmaking principles to our stories, beginning with the four most common types of shots you can use when framing your scenes. Just a quick note before we get started, the examples I'm about to include are from my current work in progress, Lady Legacy. simply because they were the easiest examples for me to find. I know. All right, shot number one is the establishing shot. This shot is aptly named as it establishes the setting of a scene by indicating the location and time of day or year. It may also hint at the scene's tone. Example number one, they could see the city from the river, gleaming bright in the warm yellow light of the Rhodian sun. And example number two, beyond lay the Serenaut, its silvery waters surging as snow slithered from the mountainside. Now onto the second shot, the wide shot. This composition shows one or more characters from head to toe, and is often used to establish a character's location at the beginning of a scene. It implies a certain distance of several paces between the point of view character and the subject or object at hand. Example number one. She paused at the threshold. He was there, on the balcony, sitting in solitude as white-capped waves churned in the sea beyond. And example number two. A few paces ahead, Coster rode with an arrow straight spine, his dark eyes sweeping the street for any sign of danger. Let's talk about the third type of shot, the medium shot. This popular shot indicates that its subject is seen or observing something from a casual distance, often while maintaining some of the scene's surrounding environment. In other words, the reader is not made to feel that the subject or object being discussed is very near or very far away from its point of view character. Example number one. The Lord Master leaned forward in his chair, a devilish smile playing at his lips. And example number two. She studied the canopy above, where shadows writhed against the glow of the candlelight. And finally, let's discuss the fourth type of just really common shot to use in your stories, and that is the close-up. Another frequently used shot, the close-up can indicate the point of view character's nearness to the subject or object at hand, or it can emphasize the importance of a specific detail. Close-ups are used more frequently in more personal or intimate scenes. Example number one. The dark splotches beneath each eye made him look halfway through death's door. And example number two. She could smell the salt on him, and something darker, the hearth fire and ink, the sweat of the day. As you can see from that last example, the words used to frame a shot don't always need to be visual. If the point of view character is close enough to pick up certain details via touch, taste, smell, or hearing, those senses can also serve to establish the shot in fiction. When composing your scenes, pay special attention to what your shots convey. For example, you can use a wide shot to show that your characters are attending a party. You can then push in, quote-unquote, with a medium shot to show that the protagonist and their love interest are much more interested in talking to one another than they are in, say, dancing. As their conversation turns personal, you can push in once more and use close-ups to indicate that the love and attraction is growing between your characters. Does someone interrupt their near kiss? Another wide shot can immediately break the romantic tension that was building. Clever, right? Now let's talk about how to practice angling for emotion. See how common those four types of shots are in prose? Chances are that you're already utilizing them, whether you realize it or not. But those four shots aren't the only ways you can frame your scenes. Let's go pro by tapping into three additional shots that can really liven up your prose. These shots specify the angles from which you compose your scenes and can work wonders for conveying the dynamics and emotions you're looking to evoke. The first angle, at eye level. Though often assumed rather than explicitly stated, this type of shot frames subjects or observations at eye level, indicating a sense of ease or equality among the characters and their environment. For example, she tried to memorize Seren's face, the soft wrinkles around her eyes, the way she sucked in her cheeks, mouth set, as she practiced patience on the most trying of days and with the most trying of people, her own stubborn student included. Angle number two, the high angle. By having the point of view character view others or their environment from above eye level, you can establish feelings of dominance, awe, contemplation, or isolation, simply depending on the tone of your scene. For example, soon the horizon began to climb. They chased it, the donkey huffing wearily, until they crested the rolling hill and watched in awe as the orchards of Brenmere unfurled before them, her breath caught in her throat at the sight. Example number 3, the low angle. By having the point of view character view others or their environment from below eye level, you can establish feelings of fear, inadequacy, wonder, or sorrow, again depending on the tone of your scene. Here's an example. A woman stood above her, not too much older than herself, looking down with eyes narrowed against the rising sun. "You've never done this before, have you?" she said. See how powerful it is to frame your scenes around how your point of view character is feeling and experiencing the world around them? This is again where deep point of view comes into play. Many readers crave the immediacy of experiencing a story from the main character's point of view, so why not do everything in your power to take them there? Is thinking like a filmmaker really the best way to write, though? The answer here is simple. There is no right way to write. Not every story is going to be best told through the limited point of view of a subjective narrative. In other words, in deep point of view. Some stories demand narrators, while others are told as legends or through an epistolary framework. Unsure of the storytelling style that would best work for your novel? I have an article linked in today's transcript on novel frameworks that can help you out. But if you are writing in deep point of view and you are a largely visual thinker, writing with these filmmaking techniques in mind may be a great way to take the nebulous, often overwhelming task of framing your scenes and turn it into a more purposeful and organized process. And yes, that is right, my friend, framing scenes like a filmmaker does mean that you can now officially watch movies as part of your storytelling research. Just make sure to do so with a critical eye in mind, okay? I'll bring the popcorn. Fun, right? Thinking like a filmmaker may not be the right choice for every writer, but for a very audiovisual thinker like myself, this technique seems to work pretty well. I encourage you to give it a shot, too. Writer, I hope you found today's episode to be, at the very least, some food for thought. I know it was a bit of a different one, but if you found it interesting, make sure to do all of the supportive goodness you can do from wherever you are listening in from. If you're on iTunes, make sure to rate, review, and subscribe. On SoundCloud, you can like and follow, and if you're listening in from YouTube, like, subscribe, and leave a comment. Any of that good stuff is always such a big, big help. Have a buck or two to spare as well? Support the podcast on Patreon. For as little as $1 a month, you can support really all that I create for Will Storied on a regular basis. Every penny makes a difference and is so, so appreciated. So if you're interested, make sure to head on over to patreon.com/wellstoried. Again, that link will be for you, included for you in today's episode description. And that's all I have for you today, friends. That is my spiel. Thank you so much for listening in. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and I will see you guys next time. Happy writing!